Hello, this is Nick Augustine here with attorney Joseph Roble from Joseph Roble Limited in Chicago. It's the Chicago bankruptcy law firm, and today on our podcast, we are talking all about home ownership and home unownership, if that may suit you. The question we answer today is, what happens to my home if I file a bankruptcy? This is the Chicago Bankruptcy Program, where we ask and answer common questions people have about bankruptcy finance and all the world of options they have before them. We want to let people know before we get going that there's a whole library of information available on the website chicagobankruptcy.com, where you can find all sorts of blog articles, podcasts, and answers to your questions. Poke around and you can find the answers. So today we're with Joseph Roble, and we're going to answer questions about what happens to my home if I file for bankruptcy. We're going to talk about Chapter 7, bankruptcy and keeping the home or giving it up. Then we'll talk about Chapter 13 bankruptcy, which is our option when we might have a home that has too high a value. We're also going to talk about foreclosure and how to put a stop to a foreclosure to stay in your house. So very common things that people do not know about and don't realize bankruptcy is an attractive option for them. I'm here with Joseph Roble. He's been a practicing attorney since 1973. He has got a wide variety of legal experience related to everything individuals and families go through when they approach things like consumer bankruptcy. Joseph Roble is here to help you get out of debt and get a fresh financial start. Let's say hi to Joseph Roble. How are you doing this morning, Joe?
Oh, Nick, I'm doing fine. Ready to go through this, a little bit of a teaching today. I just thought instead of our usual live, real questions and answers, this is sort of a nice summary that'll cover an area that inevitably, whenever someone meets with me to talk about the possibility and has a home, it always comes up. These are all questions that people have all the time. And this way, they have one source where they can come to and get their answers.
All right, wonderful. To break the ice for people listening, what's the tone right now when you are talking to new people who are calling your law office and asking about their options in bankruptcy? Are people optimistic? Are they dealing with, post-COVID and end of COVID issues that hit them financially? Are they, what's the general tone of people?
Okay. That's very interesting. One of the things is that COVID caused a lot of problems for many, many people, losing jobs, losing that income, even with the money that the government gave them, and trying to recover. On the other hand, what COVID did, the government required a moratorium for lawsuits, for example, for credit card debt, for foreclosures. So all of this stopped for quite some time. The courts were closed, although not bankruptcy court. They remained open. So even though people were having trouble making payments on what they owed, nothing was really happening because there was no legal action. Now with the COVID basically now an endemic instead of a pandemic, and with the government support dissipating, the court backlog will go away, and the lawsuits will kick in, the wage garnishments and the foreclosure. I've seen a little pickup in this already, so this is probably going to result in more bankruptcies because there's been the number of filings the last 2 years have been very small because of this. In terms of how people are feeling, it's really an individual basis, whether they're pessimistic, whether they're optimistic. I can't really give you a good generalization about that.
Mm-hmm. Well, one thing that is true is that our payments on mortgages need to be due, and people find themselves in a situation where, like you said, it could be an impact of COVID, or, you know, for whatever reason, they're having an issue with staying in the home, and they want to know if they're going to keep the home, if they're going to give the home up. So let's start first with Chapter 7, and someone wants to know what their options are. Do we keep it? Do we give it up? What are the issues?
Okay. So you're a homeowner. You bought a house a number of years ago. You're making your mortgage payments. Paying the mortgage is not a problem. But your problem is medical bills or credit cards, or you borrowed some money online because you wanted to help your nephew. Whatever the reason is, you have debt that you're having difficulty pay, and you've heard about Chapter 7 bankruptcy, and you're wondering, is this for me? Is this something that I should do? What's going to happen if I do it? But really, what's going to happen to my house? So people can keep a home that they own and in which they live, file Chapter 7, get rid of the debt that they don't want to pay or are unable to pay. And keeping the home depends upon the value of their house, what they could sell it for presently, in relation to what they owe. This relationship of value to your mortgage balance, how much, well, that's your equity. That's what you could walk away with if you sold your house. And what that amount is, how much equity you could keep in your home, file Chapter 7, and retain the ownership, it varies from state to state. So bankruptcy is a federal law. The law, the basics of the law is the same from state to state. But variations in different parts of it, and one has to do with what's called exemptions. What is exempt from being taken from you? So I will use Illinois. And the simple way to look at this is, if you're going to file a Chapter 7 bankruptcy and you want to get rid of debts such as credit cards and medical bills, and you want to keep your house, it's the value of your home, and figure out how much money would you have in your pocket if you sold it today after you pay the mortgage and broker's commission, title charges, all the things you pay as a seller. What would you have in your pocket? If you are an individual, you can keep your home if you would get $15,000 or less. If it's husband and wife owning the property together, it's $30,000. And that number changes from state to state. So if you're in that situation and you could walk away as an individual with $15,000 or less, you file Chapter 7 bankruptcy. The trustee that's assigned to your case cannot and will not sell your home. You keep your home. You continue paying the mortgage. And your other debts get wiped out and you get on with your life.
That seems now, like a lot. A lot of people, it sounds like that might apply, because if there was more equity, we probably would have been borrowing against it to pay off debts, but maybe there's not.
Well, that's true. I mean, it does apply to a lot of people. On the other hand, we had, up until recently, with inflation and the interest rates on mortgages skyrocketing, and with COVID, nothing really happening in terms of real estate sales for a while, the market for houses all over the country skyrocketed. So many people wound up with a home being worth a lot more than they thought and would not be able to file Chapter 7 because of the value. So the ironic thing is, in everyday life, you want your home to be worth as much as possible. But for purposes of bankruptcy, you want it to be worth as little as possible. But it is worth what it's worth, whatever the market will bear and we will deal with those numbers. So let's take the next situation. You have these debts. You can't pay them. You don't want to pay them. You can't afford them. You want to get rid of them. You own a house. It's worth too much money. What would you do? You would wind up filing Chapter 13. It is the second type of consumer bankruptcy where you consolidate your debt and set up a payment plan. You wind up keeping your house. I'll go into that detail a little bit later when we get into Chapter 13 more specifically. Second option with Chapter 7, the first would be you want to file and get rid of debt and keep your home. You want to file Chapter 7. You can qualify to do so. You pass the income test. And you have a home that you can't afford anymore. Your situation has changed financially. Maybe you're married and with both husband and wife working, the mortgage is affordable. Now, the wife lost the job and isn't working or started a new job. It's not enough money. You can't handle the mortgage. The house isn't worth a lot. You can't really walk away with much money. And you'd like to get out from under that mortgage payment, move someplace else where it's cheaper, but you don't want to get stuck paying the mortgage. Chapter 7, in addition to allowing you to get rid of your legal obligation to pay credit cards, medical bills, online loans, balances due on cars that were repossessed, you can also use it to eliminate your obligation to pay on the mortgage. So you can use Chapter 7 to basically walk away from what you owe on the house, never have to worry about making mortgage payments, never have to worry about the interest that accumulates, the lawyer's fees for the mortgage company that will be incurred when they file foreclosure. And it's just a remedy where if the situation is correct, if it's the proper thing for you, it's a nice solution to your problem.
Let's not also forget about the property taxes and insurance that come along with that. For a lot of people, that's like a huge amount of the monthly payment. Yeah, there's when you look at all the costs of home ownership, it adds up really quick. And just I want to just insert this as a little aside that people say, you know, owning a home is the quickest and best way to making money for the future. However, there's also something called the E-Trade account and, basic investing. And there's all sorts of way to make money for the future. Home ownership is one way, not the only way. All right. Back to you, Joe.
No, you're correct. It's not for everybody. If you've never owned a house, you learn right away what's involved in terms of upkeep and complying with municipal statutes about your fence and your lawn and everything else. So it's not for everybody.
Well, and it's a lot for different times in your life, too, because when you're raising kids and you need that space, that's one thing. And then as you're older, a lot of people have hung on to that large home forever, and they're drowning trying to, you know, prepare for retirement so that the grandkids can come back and this and that. And sometimes you just have to think about what makes sense.
No, that's true. So let's go through another possibility here. So we have the first one where you're just doing a standard Chapter 7, and you don't want to you don't want to keep this house because you can't afford it. That's one option. A second, you may have fallen behind on the mortgage, and your property is in foreclosure status, meaning a foreclosure is going to be filed, or it's been filed already. Again, Chapter 7. We'll do the same thing, even with payments that are behind. And also the Chapter 7 will buy you a little more time to stay in the house. than if you didn't file. So it's a way to eliminate your obligation on the mortgage, whether you're current, whether you're behind, whether it's in foreclosure or not foreclosure. And then there's an option called a short sale. So that term has been bandied around many, many times by many people. And they think there's something magical about a short sale. A short sale is simply a real estate closing where the mortgage lender agrees to accept less money than what you in exchange for getting the house sold for what it's worth. So, for example, let's say you owe $180,000 to pay off your mortgage, but you can't sell your house for more than $150,000. In a short sale, you find a buyer. They agree to pay $150,000. You work out with the lender that they will accept $150,000. They will release you from the rest of the money that you owe, and you never owe anything further on the mortgage. It can work out very nicely. You need a realtor who really knows the ins and outs because it's a complicated thing to deal with. You don't walk away with any money. You can avoid a bankruptcy if the only reason you'd be having to file would be the mortgage payments are either behind or you're not able to afford it. So it's an option to avoid a bankruptcy in the right circumstances. So a simple summary with Chapter 7, you can use it, you can keep your home depending on the value. With Chapter 7, you can also use it to give up the ownership, never owe any money on the mortgage, on attorney's fees, on insurance, or you can do a short sale if your only reason for filing is the mortgage itself.
Got it. Okay, well, that pretty much sums up what happens with our Chapter 7, discharging those debts. So you said that Chapter 13 is the other route, and maybe if the home is of too high of a value and or there's a foreclosure coming on, we want to stop that foreclosure. What are some other things that a Chapter 13 payment plan over a few years will help us with, and how do we look at that?
Okay, so my experience is clients, people don't want to file a bankruptcy. In all my years, I can't remember anyone walking in with a giant smile on their face and go, "Hey, Mr. Roble, let's do a bankruptcy." People are reluctant filers. They make a decision to file a bankruptcy when they themselves that it's the best option for them. And when they make that decision, what happens quite often is they will meet with me and we'll have our consultation. And I tell them, you know what? You can't file Chapter 7. It's not going to work for you. And the common response, people are very disappointed. And I tell them, but you can do Chapter 13. And many people shy away from it, seeing how it works. So simple explanation. You have a situation where your home is too high. The value in relation to the mortgage is too much for you to keep it in Chapter 7. If you file Chapter 7, the Chapter 7 trustee assigned to your case would sell your home. What can you do? You can file a Chapter 13, take those debts that you're unable to pay as they are right now, consolidate them, and you wind up making a monthly payment for the Chapter 13 trustee in the county which you live. And each month, the trustee will take the money, divide it up, and pay your credit cards, your medical bills, all those debts that you were hoping to get rid of in the Chapter 7. You continue making the mortgage payment. You keep your home, even though the value was too high if you were going to file a Chapter 7. The Chapter 13 payment plan will be based upon a number of different factors. It monitors percent of what you owe, and you wipe out 90%. It may pay 25%. It may pay half. You might have to pay all your debt in a plan. It'll depend upon that value of your home in relation to the mortgage balance. The higher it is, the more of your debt you have to pay back. For most people, even if I tell them you've got to pay 100 cents on the dollar, the monthly payment is quite often less than if they were paying on their own, because you're stretching the payments out over a period up to 5 years, and you're stopping the interest on your credit card loans. So if you've got a credit card with a 12% and an 18% or a 22% interest rate, which is built up that balance over a period of time, when that Chapter 13 is filed, that interest rate stops, and you pay a simple interest amount is due, depending on what the costs are for the Chapter 13 trustee where you reside. They vary from trustee to trustee.
You know, and Joe, that just seems like that could be just good financial planning right there. If you have an option where you can knock out some of that interest that you had to buy something, that can be really attractive.
It is. And for people whose first reaction is, I don't want to do Chapter 13 because they know someone and they weren't happy with their plan, once I explain it, for most people, it makes a lot of sense. It's not going to work for everyone. Sometimes their budget can't handle it, and I'll do a case for them now. But it's a wonderful option when you have a debt situation where you cannot file Chapter 7. The second scenario in a Chapter 13 would be where you're in foreclosure status, meaning your payments are behind. Let's say that you lost your job because of COVID. You were out of work 8 months. Your mortgage is 8 months behind. Now you can afford that mortgage payment every month, but you don't have the money to come up with a chunk of money to pay 8 months of mortgage at one time. And most lenders won't work with you to do a repayment plan of anything that's good enough to make sense. So what Chapter 13 will do is it'll prevent the foreclosure from getting started if they haven't. It'll stop the foreclosure if it's been filed. And it will allow you to take those 8 months, spread them out, and pay them over a period of up to 5 years. And for most people, their budget allows them to do this. And again, it's a wonderful solution for keeping your home. Chapter 7 doesn't work because Chapter 7 won't do anything to help you catch up on the past due mortgage.
Joe, I have a question. What do you do? How does it work when you're the lawyer for the client and they are looking at the trustee and they're concerned with making a budget? I saw this in divorce and family law when people would try to figure out what their needs are and what their budget is. And people are pretty good if you're very meticulous at what you spend and you're very aware. But there's a lot of people who imagine and they make a list of what they spend and what their needs are. And then they realize they've forgotten about a lot of things, or if something happens, like I got into a bankruptcy repayment plan where I'm paying X to my trustee, and then, you know, this other amount is what I need for my, you know, other basic utility bills, or, you know, gas and groceries. Well, then something happens when gas and groceries doubles. You know, what do we do then if we can't pay the trustee? Can they change the amount? I mean, it's like, sometimes the problems that led us into a bankruptcy in the first place are still sort of residual problems that ding us every now and then that we can't necessarily control. And I think of people who are self-employed, particularly who don't have the same paycheck every month. It seems like that could be like a real challenge.
You know what? That's a really good question. So, budget-wise, I will put a budget together. I will get from my client fixed items that they pay, mortgage, utilities, gas, electric, water, garbage, cell phone, internet, TV, vehicle insurance, vehicle payments. So those are basically fixed. They're not going to change from month to month. Utilities could vary. Yes, inflation could be an issue. And then what we add to that, food, clothing, laundry, dry cleaning, personal care, housekeeping expenses. And there are guidelines to use that give me a range of a dollar amount based upon how big is your household. Is it a one person? Is it husband and wife and three kids? So that's going to vary. Then I will present that budget to the client and I will say, you know what, based upon this particular budget, you will be able to afford paying the Chapter 13 to stop the foreclosure. Now, there's variables in there. I'm going to need their help to figure out transportation, you know, how often do they fill up gasoline? How far do they have to drive to work? What about medical expenses? Do they have out-of-pocket for co-pays, for drugs? So I need some of that information for the client. Chapter 13 usually doesn't allow for much over for emergencies, which can be a problem. But I will not file a case for a client as much as they want to do so, unless I feel that they can afford the payment plan. Now, there can be a scenario where I tell the client to stop the foreclosure, keep your house, you have to pay X dollars a month. And we go through their budget and the income, and it doesn't work. They just don't have the money. For most people, unless they've come to me at the last minute, in their house sold next week, you know, if they're early enough in the process, if it's before foreclosure has started, if it's early in the foreclosure itself, it gives them time to change their situation, to get more income, get a part-time job, get your brother-in-law to move in and pay you rent. There are ways to get extra income, and the clients can come back and 2, 3, 4 months and say, all right, we've got the extra income and we can stop the foreclosure. But they have to come and see me early enough in the process. Then another scenario that you raised would be, can a payment plan be changed? Mm-hmm. And once it's filed and once it's approved by the judge, and I'll give you a lawyer's answer, and no. So you can change a plan, but the circumstances have to be correct. There may be a minimal payment requirement in your Chapter 13, so you may not be able to reduce it. You may be able to bring it down. It's something that we have to look at a case-by-case basis where we'll analyze the situation and tell the client. I have a situation, a case now, where a client's been paying for 3 years. She got divorced. She had some issues with alcoholism. And she had some issues with gambling. She ran up some extra debt in her Chapter 13. While the Chapter 13 is going on. And now she can't pay the Chapter 13. She can't pay these other creditors. What she's going to do, we're going to let the Chapter 13 case be dropped, get it dismissed, and she'll start over with a new one. Include all the new debt, because apparently she's cleaned things up for herself. So there are, although things are set in stone, sometimes you can take a chisel and chip away at that stone and fix things a second or a third time.
There you go. And I'll tell you what, there's people want to work with you if you want to work with them, but it's like communicate. You know, sometimes we talk about just dealing with creditors and calling them, and you'd be surprised that sometimes they'll take less than you were thinking, or, you know, whatever the situation is. You know, I think that there's I heard on a podcast or a radio or somewhere, someone was talking about like a poverty paralysis that people get stuck in, where they're on a limited budget and they try to stretch and make it on this tiny amount of money, you know, to the point where, I mean, people can live on like next to nothing in air, apparently. You know, but people get stuck in that mode where they don't even picture themselves having more and greater income to, you know, change their situation. And when they find out that just even looking online for work at home jobs and different gig things out there, I mean, there's all sorts of Netflix videos, in fact, about ways to improve your financial situation. And people just don't think that they can do it because they haven't tried it before. And they get stuck in a mode of feeling under the gun and behind the eight ball. So there is, I think that with bankruptcy and taking control of these things, it puts the consumer, it puts a person in the driver's seat where they're making the decision and they're saying, here's how I'm going to live. And it can be really, I think it's a really empowering thing. Sometimes having a bad financial situation can lead to our best turnarounds and our best positive outcomes. It's just all how you look at it.
Yeah, sometimes it's just simply a matter of getting some encouragement from someone. Even just that simple.
Well, right, and knowing that they're not the only person out there who has had, you know, and you look at something like this with COVID, I always say, if you were ever going to do something like do a bankruptcy, you know, now's the time to do it. You could say, hey, you know, half the people on the block have had some sort of financial, I think they said 44% of American households had some sort of financial change or interruption directly because of COVID pandemic.
Yes, it's more prevalent than people think. Absolutely.
All right. Well, Jill, thank you for the information today on what to do with the home, because there's a lot of options here, and people may believe that they are out of options and it's too late, but it's never too late. Joe, if they want to talk to you and start getting an idea of what they want to do, not saying that they've got to do it right away, they can be preparing for something that's going to be in a few months. We don't know, but the first step is the first step. And what is that? How do they get in touch?
Well, if they want to do it by telephone, my mobile phone is 312-804-8416. I'm always very, very happy to answer questions. Some people are a little shy or don't want to speak with anybody. Go to my website at chicagobankruptcy.com. We do what I believe is a very good job of explaining the ins and outs and covering many, many, many different possible scenarios. Also on avo.com, they can check out reviews from many of my clients and also get further information about bankruptcy.
All right. Well, Joe, thank you again for your time, and thank you to all who listen to these programs and may find them on LinkedIn or Facebook or online, wherever. Please do the nice thing and share with people when it's appropriate, because you just never know who's looking for exactly this type of information. And, you know, there's all sorts of bankruptcy options for people in small business that you may not think that you qualify, or it wasn't even for you. You might find out that it's the exact thing that you didn't know you needed, and then it really helps you out. So that's who we're trying to help. Everybody out there. So thank you again, Joe, and we'll be back next time with more frequently asked questions, answers, and some more detailed specific programs on hot topics and bankruptcy. So everyone, have a great day. Thanks a lot, Joe. Talk to you soon.
Thank you, Nick, and have a good day.
All righty. Bye-bye now.